the Shmoyne Prakim of the Rambam. The Shmoyne Prakim really, it's called Shmoyne Prakim because it's eighth Prakim, nothing else dramatic about it, but it is his Akdama for Masechtas Avos. And his Akdama for Masechtas Avos, he deals with a few topics, not easy to see a real connection, except each one of them in each perek is sort of an introduction to another important inyan of in the world of Musar, one would say. I think that's the best way to express it. So that's the common denominator of all these things, that there's something important about these are fundamental topics in the world of Musar in general, and therefore he's dealing with it. So he says like this: Kvar bi'anu b'psicha zeh chibur ma siba she'nia mechaba l'kvar zos ha'masechta b'zeh ha'seda. I've already explained why in the beginning in his akdama to Mishnayos, why it is that this is where Masechtas Avos belongs. He spoke about the midas of the Sanhedrin and so on. V'zachana gamkin godel tells us a masechta. He also explained how important this masechta is. Uko ayadnu pamim v'ashekadem v'zeh achibur. I've already said before that I will explain in this masechta some very fundamental topics. V'shenarech bo k'tzas arichus. And we will have longer explanations than in the other masechtas. The reason being because in other masechtas, he's giving you a synopsis of the Gemara and that's it. Here, there is no real Gemara, and he feels that the points that he's going to make, they're not readily accessible in Gemaras, and therefore he needs to be a lot more than just explaining the Mishnah. In the rest of Shas, what he does is explains the Mishnah in light of how the Gemara explains it. Here, he basically has to build up Pshat himself. Vipnei shehi, afal pishat rom v'eres kala lahavin, even though it looks very simple, hinei ha-maisa masha kolba eina kal kolbni adam. What's expected of you to do is not easy for everyone. Vigam loy kolin yonel muvanim lipiyosh maspik, and not everything in it is understood without having a good pirish. Ima yosef v'yashem esar sachamitis, despite the fact that it brings a person to a tremendous shlemus. So he's saying the topic is extremely important. The ability to get a clear idea of the mission of what's expected is not so easy. And that's why I felt I needed to expand or expound. They said, Chazal said, if somebody wants to be a chassid, he should be mekayim perikavis. To us, the greatest madre, chassidus is the extreme of all things we can do right before nevuah. K'moshe amru, chassidus mevi'der ruch kodesh. Hine hisboi midevrem shahamaisa b'musre zos ha'masechta mevi'al nevuah. So in a sense, this perek, fulfilling what it says here is really a road to nevuah, which in the Rambam's Seder Advarim and really everyone's is it's a highest darga of ruchnius. It's not nevuah for the sake of knowing the future or nevuah for even the sake of going out to Klai Yisrael and telling what to do. It's the hisalus of a person's neshama so that it is in constant tveigs HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It includes a lot of the milas of midas, and we're going to explain it. He said, and I want to introduce before I explain each halacha, prokim mo'ilim, important prokim, yuskul adam and akdamas, so a person will have certain basic material, introductory material, because a lot of times when you need to introduce ideas and you first have to learn this idea from scratch and then explain something with it, a person loses the connection. However, if you've learned the basic idea and you know it, you can relate to it, and then when I get to it, I use it to explain something, it's much, much easier. The truth is also a lot of times a person feels that's very contrived. Let's say if I have to tell you pshat in a Mishnah and Gemara, and I start with a whole long explanation, and you say to yourself, it can't be that this whole explanation fits into that Gemara. He's saying too much for that. But the truth is, it's not like that. It's just because this is something that is required, having the pre-knowledge of certain fundamental points, and once I have that certain fundamental point, we're good to go. So it's really sort of a process of getting certain things down and so on. So he says, "Veda ki advarim shoymesim beila prakim ashevem erak pirush eina inyanim shechidashin miatzmi v'lo pirushan shebedisim." These are not things that I invented. Ella heim inyanim lukata midirei chachamim b'medrashes b'talmud zolosei. These are inyanim that I found in Chazal u'midivrei philosophim gamkein, and also from philosophers, hakadumim v'chadoshim, the early ones and the newer ones. Mechibur habib nadam, for many people, ushma haemes mimisha mara, and accept the truth from whoever says it. Now, let's stop about this a second. And on both points, there's what to be said. First of all, on the first point, he says these are things that I've collected from Chazal and Medrashim and Talmud. One needs to qualify that remark and say as follows. These are things that the Rambam understood in the Chazal and the Medrash, whatever. These are not things that are, so to speak, these are not things that are like Mefurish, the Gemara says them. These are things that the Gemara says, and you understanding the Gemara, as the Rambam is understood Gemaras to be saying this. So it's not as sometimes he'll bring the Gemara. You can understand it differently. It's not as if the Gemara says that, but what the Rambam is saying is how he learned Pshat the Gemara. That's one point to bear in mind. A second point to bear in mind is that he says, I took from other people's Kabel ha'emes mimisha amra, shmei mesish amra. This is a very, very strong point of the Rambam, and that's why the Rambam felt inclined to go through other Sifrei Chachma and to gather whatever wisdom he found there. If he found something that was right, he used it, he incorporated it. The people who disagreed with that approach of the Rambam didn't disagree with the principle, obviously, Kabel Sazisha Amroi. What they were wary, and the reason why they didn't use philosophical works, and again, different Rishonim had different levels of drawing material from other places, was for the following reason. Let's take even something like science, which you can verify. But the tendency of people is A, not to stand and re-experiment. They accept. Once you make up your mind that this guy's reliable, you accept what he says. We don't live a paranoid life where you cross-examine everybody three times and find out from other witnesses and so on and so forth. Even science, which is always trumpeted as being testable and repeatable and so on, you're in medical school, when you study stuff, you accept it. You say, listen, this is the official textbook of a prestigious university, and it's so on and so forth. I take it for what it is. It might be in 25 years they'll debunk some parts of it, fine, but you have to do it that way. That's true of science. Philosophy, which really is a lot more elusive and certainly extremely difficult to prove, to qualify as absolute truth. Very, very, it's very hard to create a laboratory to test philosophy. When a person is presenting an argument in the realm of philosophy, his eloquence, his sense of authority, everything else will greatly affect as to how much you value what he says. That's a reality. It's true of everybody. So there was a great fear that when I sit down and I read what Aristotle has to say about something, and I'm aware of the authority that he has, and the self-confidence and the assuredness and the certain logical presentation, I'm willing to swallow it even if it's not emes. I once said pshat, it says, Torah Hashem Nemona, Machkimas Edus Hashem Nemona, Kadosh Baruch Hu's testimony is reliable, Machkimas Pesi, it makes the Pesi, the fool, smart. I once thought pshat, I think it's the emes pshat, a pesi is described as pesi yam in l'chol davar. It's the type of fool or foolishness that a pesi is someone who believes everything. In other words, he can understand what he's taught, he doesn't have a problem absorbing material, doesn't have a problem remembering it, may even be able to apply it. But he doesn't have the ability to discriminate or to critique between the good, the nebulous, and the outright false. So a person who is a pesi is never getting wise, because for every bit of wisdom he swallows some junk with it as well. So when a person is going to sit, so one Torah, which is true, Eidus Hashem Neman, Hashem's testimony is reliable, it's truthful, there I can take the whole thing in as it is and trust it and be confident and comfortable that what I have is emes. That's the difference between Eidus Hashem and other things. So he says, so the Rambam's approach was, yes, the Rambam had the confidence that he could go through other things, pick out what's emes, and stick with it. The Goyen, for instance, argued, the Goyen felt at certain points that he made was because he had been affected by the attitudes of contemporary philosophers and so on. Again, you know, this is not for us to resolve those machlokes, but it's just important to understand what they are. So he says, I want to tell you something else. I may actually bring sometimes a whole piece that comes from a fairly a book that's commonly available and known. I don't feel anything wrong with it. I'm not trying to boast that this is my thing. I've said so. In other words, I'm basically saying not everything that I wrote here is something that's mine. Many of the things here I've taken. Even though I don't mention the name of the author, Shazuarichus ain't tell us about. It's not necessary. The Efshalif Omim Sheshemo Ish Yachnis believe Mishain Tvunabo. And sometimes the person is going to a person who has a person will remember the name of the one who I've mentioned, and that's something that's not good. So I think what he means to say is, I don't intend to reference other philosophers, because I don't hold by everything that they said. So for me to reference something and say, everybody, look at the great and wonderful things that Aristotle wrote here. So the person, what he'll remember of this whole piece is that the Rambam said Aristotle's a great guy, and therefore I'll buy a set of Aristotle, and whatever Aristotle said is good. Once he says, by mentioning the name, let's explain the Nkuda here. When I'm writing a song, when I'm writing a creation of mine, so there, if you take that from me, you took my creation. If I figured out a complicated formula, the truth of the formula is independent of me who figured it out. I just deserve credit for having figured it out. The truth that the philosophers postulated or ascertained, if you will, are truths that stand in their own as absolute truths. And therefore, having the name to float around, it's not necessary to say the name because it's not his truth. He did a great thing by coming up with the truth. A creation, like a painting, music, or some sort of creative literature, there, it's sort of my creation, and it's me. It's an expression of myself. But if we're dealing with factual material, things that are true because they're true, then the author deserves note as a credit, but it's not really, it doesn't go into the description of the thing itself. So Bimela, he said, I'm keeping away from it. And he said, and that's when Azuris, hello? Yeah. And that's why I don't mention the author. Because I'm interested that the reader get the maximum benefit. So I want to take the focus away from the people. And Naram says it's not me that said all this, that said all this, and it doesn't make a difference who said it. The points are correct, and you will understand important things in Pirkei Avos. Do it. I once had a Rebbe who used to be notorious, this is going back in old days when I was in high school, for saying over chidushim of Sfarim without mentioning their names. And one day he said something, and the whole class argued, and he said, it's Rebbe Kivega's chidush. So they stopped arguing. So he got very annoyed, and he said, you know, people wonder why I say things without the name of the sefer. So this is exactly why. Because if you think it's wrong, you should be arguing even if I told Shaki Vega. You're not paskening, you're trying to understand. And it's right to ask. So that was the way he explained it. Okay, so let's start the first perek. So he said, now we'll start with the prakim, and there are 8 prakim. The first one is a description of what is the Nefesh HaAdam and its Kochos. And I guess this is, being that Pirkei Avos deals with the Chelkei HaNefesh, and the Nefesh is a sort of a, between the soul, it's like, so it's the person's soul or essence or whatever it is. So first he wants to describe what it is, and then the things that might be wrong and so on and so forth. B'nefesh anukosa da ki nefesh ha'odom nefesh achas v'lo pu'ulos rabos chalukos. A person has one nefesh with many different attributes to it. Yikaru k'tasa pu'ulos ha'hei nefashos. Some of them call them different nefashos. V'yichashe b'avor ze sheish lo nefashos rabos. K'mo shachosh v'rofim. It's like the doctors, Acha Pasach Reisha Rofim, until I guess Galen is the one that he considered to be the great doctor in his time, said the following. Nishanefasha Shalas, there are 3 different nefashas, Tivis, Chiyunis, Nafshis. Tivis means the natural, in other words, that would be sort of like Tzomeach, Chiyunis would be like Balchai, and Nafshis would be what makes Adam unique. Upamim yikaru kochos v'chalakim. Sometimes you call different kochos, sometimes different parts. Ad shi'yomer chelke ha'nefesh. V'ze Hashem yishtamshu filosofim harbi. V'eino miskavim v'omrum chelke shu mischalak yichol ha'gufis. They don't mean to say parts in the sense that it's different parts. V'omrum he'moinim pulosea chalukos ashen chalal ha'nefesh kichalakim l'koil ha'mechubim chalakim ha'heim. So let's talk a little bit about this. This is a point the Rama makes, which he insists on, and it's his first point. So I guess it's going to be very important to understand why the Rama makes such a big deal out of it and what is it. Basically, he's saying that you can't, even though there are different parts and pieces that can be identified in the soul, these are not different parts and pieces be'etzem. Let's give an example, so not like that, and then we'll get back to what he is talking about. A person has in himself hunger pangs. So when he's hungry. He can also be very thirsty. He can also be very tired. Those three feelings really don't add up to one thing. Each one is coming from someplace else, and a person can struggle. Should I eat something? I'm starved. Or should I go to sleep because I'm tired? And they're not part of one, they're part of one body, but each one is a system, works on its own, and doesn't really connect. In terms of Adam, the Rambam says, in terms of the nefesh, you know, so let's get away from the physical body. Let's go to the nefesh. Over there, we really, really have one nefesh. So when we talk about psychological drives, we're talking about one sense of I and self that manifests itself in different ways. Let's first understand why is it important to say that. So first of all, it's important because the ability to work on your nefesh. Let's go back to the food, drink, sleeping. So a person comes home, he's dead tired, he is hungry, and he's very thirsty. Each one of these is a self-contained mechanism, and they're all drives and forces in a person. As such, there's not going to be any place of decision-making. I guess it'll just be whichever is the strongest, whichever one hurts him the most, or so on. The person, in so much as he's a bardas, and he understands what is, you know, and he's making decisions, he will sit down and say, okay, if I don't drink, I might get dehydrated and I might die. So I need to drink. Eating is really voluntary, so let me go to sleep. It's hard to digest stuff when you're really tired. And I'll wake up probably earlier because I'm hungry, and then I'll eat. So because the person has one mind, he can make those type of decisions and put everything into perspective. So mitzad, the physical drives of the body, they're really very, very different. And each one is its own world, and one is lo shas the other. Mitzad, the person's, mitzad, the kloy is a person has the ability to sit down and make those decisions. So now he says, So in the person's mind, on the deeper level, when we talk about a person's midas between kas and gaiva and taiva and chemda and all these things, despite the fact that there's going to be different nefashos, we can make a circle around each one and see it in some ways, an individual way. We also need to understand that it comes from one place, and that's why a person who's in control of himself can control. It's not For a person to effectively do what's right, it's not a pitched battle between two kohos, but rather an asserting the control of the unifying control unit on everything else. Let's explain. So it's important to have this concept in terms of a person's in terms of a person's ability to do real avoda. That's one point over here. There's a second point, and I don't know if the Rambam means it for that, but I think it's important to understand it as such. A second important nekuda here is that a person is meant to some degree or to a large degree to model HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be a Tzelem Elokim. The person's being a Tzelem Elokim requires him to be structured internally. Doimet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doimet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just like by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's absolutely no hischalkus between the different elements, between different midas. The Rambam makes this a very, very important axiom in his opening Parakim Mizareh Torah, that by Kodesh Baruch Hu all the midos are one. It would be like describing the car. This car has six things. It's blue, it's a four-seater, it's made in Japan, it takes this as mile gas per gallon. I'm not talking about four cars. I'm talking about four different aspects of this car. So I can speak about Kodesh Baruch Hu's action with us, that we receive it in different ways, but it's not that Kodesh Baruch Hu different bits and pieces. Adam, in the sense that he's parallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to be similar to that in having that nekud of Echad in himself. And thereby, he is going to consist of one nefesh with different attributes of that nefesh, different aspects of that nefesh. Because if not, then basically we are what's happening is we're going to have five people instead of one person. Okay, I think we'll stop a bit early. We'll hold it over here. Any questions, any points? So once a person gets everything in line, in other words, it's almost as if that itself is the battle. If I have a common purpose, if I see my purpose in life as X or Y or Z, everything else will follow along and get in line. For instance, a person who's very into money, he's not going to be hungry, not going to be tired, because he's so busy closing the deal and so on and so forth. A person who's a Oved Hashem be'emes, and all his midas are lined up, will find them to be in harmony with each other, and because they're all parts of one piece. So the ability to do it right in the world of midos is to have the pieces lined up in a harmonious way. Okay. Yeah, sorry. So if it's losing, when you realize that it's a, for instance, let's say a person wants to have a good time and enjoys food, lots of food and very good food, so not eating is a problem. But let's say the person suffers severe stomach ailments, and he realizes that he's not going to have any food to enjoy unless he cuts down and is reasonable about it. So then the cutting down and the wanting to eat merge into one subcategory of enjoying food. It's the not eating now that allows me to enjoy the food. So when a person is able to put the center point correctly, all the other pieces fall into place. As you know, so in the big picture, when a person is shoilit on his nefesh, so all the pieces can be part and parcel of one item. It's not one at the expense of other. It's the realization that all the pieces really want to serve the common purpose. Just like when we say Hashem Echad, it means that everything in the world needs to direct itself towards serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and finding its shleimus there. That's true over here also. Okay, next week I'm not going to be, I'll be in Atzrol Mitzvah Hashem, hopefully in 2 weeks, Be'ez Hashem.